This morning we return to Ecclesiastes as we've been doing once a month. Next Sunday we'll go back to the second letter in Revelation 2 of the seven letters to the seven churches. But we come to the end of Ecclesiastes, and I skipped a lot of it obviously because there is a lot of repetition that I don't need to do. This is a very interesting passage, and depending on where you're at is how you'll respond. Some of you might be depressed, especially if you struggle with aging, because it's about getting old. Age seems to be our theme today. Now, if in your aging you find a lot of humor in aging, then you'll probably really enjoy this passage, because the imagery is somewhat funny. If you're so prone to laugh at things like that. Now, if you're young, you might be tempted to simply ignore it, because in your mind, you don't have to worry about it for a good while. But this is actually written to you while you're young, as we'll see. So it will be interesting how you respond to a text like this. But it begins in chapter 11, verse 7. Through a bit of chapter 12. So let's read God's word. Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in them all. But let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. All that comes is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these things God will bring you into judgment. So remove vexation from your heart and put away pain from your body. For youth and the dawn of life are vanity. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those who look through the windows are dimmed, and the doors on the street are shut, when the sound of the grinding is low, and the one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They are afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, the grasshopper drags itself along, and desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the civil cord is snapped and the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher, all is vanity. Let's pray. Lord, help us to have a Christian and right assessment of life, whether young or old, that we may live it thankfully for you. Use this scripture in each one's life, Lord, as your word is powerful to do so. In Christ's name, amen. So you may have noted as I read it, the somber tone in which I read it. And the reason is that's how the book ends. Remember that the preacher of Ecclesiastes is evaluating life in a fallen and cursed world. He's looking around the world in a world that, since Adam rebelled, ends with death. And so the book of the wisdom he offers of how to understand and live in this world ends, of course, with the end, that we all die. And from the perspective of simply life in this world, that's vanity. It shouldn't be this way. Life should get better. We should learn more and grow. And God originally made it where Adam was to subdue the earth and learn and build. And now you live a short time and you die. And so he explains the reality that Christian or non-Christian, we all deal with. We all live in this world. We all die. And so, not only how to think about it, but some godly advice, inspired advice of how to live in light of this reality. And so he begins in verse 7, and you've seen this before, that you should enjoy life while you can. Given that life is short, and we've seen this many times, we are commanded and advised to enjoy it. Enjoying life is a command from God. And he even goes on to say, you will be held responsible if you do not enjoy life, if you're not thankful for what God has given you. And so he says in verse 7, light is sweet and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. In other words, it's good to be alive. Life is a gift. So if a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them, but let him remember that the days of darkness will be many. Enjoy life, but realize you cannot cling to life because it's temporary and the time will come when enjoying life will be a little more difficult in certain ways, obviously. And so enjoy the years you will be given, verse 8, sweetness and life and ease won't always be there. The days are coming when, as you get older, more responsibility, more heartaches, your body will ache more. And enjoying life won't be quite as easy. Some people excluded here. But for the normal person. And so the point here is simply to enjoy every day you have. Verse 9. Be happy in your prime while you are young. When you've got it, enjoy it. When I turned 40, I was sort of lamenting to somebody online, a friend. Man, I'm already 40. And he wrote back, oh, to be 40 again. And then it hit me. Boy, there's a lot of people that would love to be in my condition. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, be happy in your prime because it's fleeting. And all of you know how fast life goes. Where did the time go? How did we end up here? And that's the way it always feels in this life. And so he says in verse 9, follow your heart. And that's not a negative use of follow your heart. In other words, follow your passions of sin. It's saying the things you want to do and enjoy in a good way. But then he goes on to say, and you will be judged for not enjoying life. That's another way of saying if you're always complaining, you're not thankful. And life is a free gift and you could be gone. And so he says, you will be responsible for being unthankful. And always being negative and critical and complaining about everything instead of thanking God. And we think of in the book of Romans, it says one of the characteristics of the unbeliever, it says, for even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. One of the basic characteristics of the unbeliever is he's just not thankful for anything. The Bible says God will hold you responsible. There's a saying in the Jewish Talmud, actually, that's very similar. It says, everyone must give an account before God of all the good things one saw in life and did not enjoy. So that's a similar idea of what Ecclesiastes is saying. And so verse 10, so remove sorrow and unpleasantness from you. And that's another way of saying, not that you don't go through times of sorrow and unpleasantness, but remove the anxiousness about the future. You can't do anything about it. God's in control of the days of your life. So instead of spending all your time worrying about tomorrow, enjoy what you have. Because life is fleeting. That is the point. And then chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, introduces a poem. And it begins with addressing the young people who would be listening. And to the young people is, remember, you will not be young forever. Old age is coming, and so now, verse 1, remember your Creator, because it's the young people who think they'll live forever, and so they tend not to think about matters of God or Christianity or religion, because that's for later in life. And the warning is, don't do that. While you're young, begin to think about God now and the deeper questions of life, because while you're so focusing on being young, you're going to wake up one day and guess what? You're not young. And you had wasted all those years instead of serving God and knowing God. And you don't know when God will take your life. And so verse 2, death is impending. before the day draws near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. And from verse 2 on, he begins a poem, and it's really a brilliant poem if you like poetry, because fantastic imagery he uses to describe growing old. That's why I say this will either depress you or cause you to laugh, because he just talks about all the different ways you struggle with growing old, but uses imagery in this poem. He starts off, the luminaries will be darkened, the storm is coming, clouds behind the rain there. And as you read this poem, you begin to wonder, is he talking about the end of the world? This is pretty bad. Or is it just the end of life for us? And that's an open question, but the immediate context is it's growing old. And so most of this you can figure out. I'll explain a few, and there's a couple of these that we really don't understand the imagery. But let's just walk through it. Notice here in verse 3, the keepers of your house tremble. What does that describe? That's your hands and your limbs shaking. You'll get to the point where you'll be trembling. The strong men stoop. You will not walk as upright as you did when you were young. You'll begin to stoop over. The grinders cease. It's your teeth. And none of you have to point to anything on your body here. The grinders cease. You lose your teeth. You stop eating chewable food. Those that look through windows grow dim. Your eyesight. You won't be able to see outside clearly anymore. You won't be able to see the sun like before. The sound of grinding fades. Hearing loss. The grinding is the grinding of the mill outside that you're used to hearing every morning in that culture. You won't hear the morning mill going like you used to when you were younger. Verse 5, you'll have fears of heights. When you were young, you could climb all kinds of things and walk to the edge, but you're not going to want to do that when you're older. And you'll also have fear of walking in certain places. When you were young, maybe you could walk outside certain places at night. You didn't think about the things elderly people think about when they're alone walking at certain parts of the city. And then he says, verse 5, the almond tree blossoms. Now you have to know how an almond tree looks when it blossoms, but what color is it? It's white. So what's he talking about? Your hair. He's talking about your hair. When your hair begins to turn white. Don't look up here, by the way. Now, the next verse, the translators sort of chickened out. Some didn't. If you have a New American Standard Bible, literally in the Hebrew it says, the caper berry is ineffective. Now, no one knows what that means nowadays, so they kind of translated it for you. The caper berry in those days was an aphrodisiac. I'll leave it at that. You got it, right? And so what they do, the NIV said desire is no longer stirred. That's another way of saying it, and you get the point. So after all that, verse 5, the second half, and then you die. Then you go to your grave. Here the eternal home is another way of saying the grave. Mourners are at your funeral. And then verse 6 continues imagery of death. First it's a picture of a well. The pitcher and the wheel breaks. First the lampstand breaks and there's no light, and then there's a well where the pitcher breaks and so there's no water. Both pictures of the end of life. So like I said, you have this really beautiful, in the sense of well-written, poem. And based on, if you're young, it's funny because it's not you. If you're elderly, it's very relatable in some ways. And if you're humorous, you can enjoy it. If not, it's depressing. So it really depends on what day it is for you and what time of life. But notice verse 7, he does end in a very sad and somber note. It's sad what he sees. People shouldn't die. That's not the way God made man. He made man to live forever. So death is sad. And so verse 7, and then at the end of it, the dust returns to the earth, just like it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. It's just a reversal of creation, right? God made man out of the dust, and breathed life into him. But in this short time, it seems, man goes back to the dust and his spirit goes right back to God. It ends like it began. He's not speaking here of everlasting life necessarily. He's just speaking of death and the sadness that this is the way it has to be since the fall. Now, I mentioned the question that some people have noticed that this seems to describe not just one person dying, but the end of the world. And there's truth to that, because if you look at other parts of the Bible, these same descriptions are used for the end of life itself when Jesus returns. For example, the sun and the moon darkening. Isn't that used elsewhere? Book of Revelation? That's used for the end of the world. Even the grinders coming to a stop is used in Matthew for Christ's return. The storm clouds coming in is used for Christ's return, the end of the world. So there is a sense the preacher who writes this is not just looking at the end of one life, but the end of life, that this world is passed, just like we're passing through. Paul also says this world is just passing by. It is going to end, just like a person. And so it is very healthy to keep in mind not only your own mortality, but the mortality of this world, that it is passing away. And so the point of the passage to end like this is to say that there is a sadness about life and death that all Christians should experience, because it's unnatural. It's not the way God made it. And so he sort of ends the book with a sigh. Isn't this sad? That we have the short time of youth, and then we move into this stage, assuming God even gives us that many years, and then we just end like we started. That's not the way it should be. And so I want you to feel what he's feeling with the emotion he writes it. And to do that, I'm going to read this passage again, sort of summarizing it. And just listen to it. Close your Bibles, if you would, and try to feel these words the way they were written. Life is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun. If a person lives many years, let him rejoice in all of them. But let him remember that difficult days are coming. And so rejoice, young people, in your youth. Enjoy God's blessings, because God will hold you accountable if you are not thankful for them. So remove worry from your heart. You cannot change the fact that your youth is fleeting. But be mindful of your Creator while you are young, before the days come when you will not find much pleasure. Then at the end, man will go back from where he came. So remember your Creator before the light of the lampstand goes out, before the dust returns back to the ground. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Now, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you realize that Ecclesiastes is not the last book of the Bible, is it? There's a whole New Testament coming. So Ecclesiastes is not the last word. And if you believe in Jesus Christ for salvation, you have another outlook than this, beyond this life. And I want you to listen now to the words of the Apostle Paul, because many commentators, and I'm convinced also, that when he wrote these words, Ecclesiastes was on his mind, and maybe even this poem. And so he's giving now a perspective of a believer beyond the sadness of this life. Listen to Paul, 2 Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he who prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So whether we are at home or we are away, we make it our aim to please the Lord. Amen.